Thanks for reading. Fascinating passage. We're coming to the end of 39 weeks of studying the Gospel of Mark. It's been a thrilling time. This is a fun section. Last week was pretty somber. We talked about his death. This week is very interesting to see these surprise characters that Mark brings in to conclude his story. It's also pretty surprising the way Mark ends with the people in fear and trembling. Now, he did that on purpose, I believe, and I'm going to talk about that some this morning. Simon of Cyrene. Mark has lots of surprise characters in his story. There's the leper, there's the Syrophoenician woman. There's a whole bunch of surprise characters, but usually they're not named. These ones are named. Now, I would ask, why were they named? As specifically, Alexander and Rufus. How'd you like to be named Rufus? Alexander's pretty good. Well, here's the surprise about this character. As Jesus is being led to the cross, the first person in Mark to obey, take up your cross and follow me, is who? It's Simon, Simon of Cyrene. This is moving to me. When Jesus was unable to carry his own cross, a father from a far and distant land carried it for him. Wouldn't you like your name to be there? Simon of Cyrene. He was compelled to be the first to model, take up your cross and follow me. Now, I don't know much about Cyrene. Cyrene is Libya, is modern-day Libya, where Mark was from himself, probably. What's interesting is that his two sons are named Alexander and Rufus, and I think what that means is the people who read Mark's letter somewhere 60, 50 AD, they knew Alexander and Rufus. Now, what does that tell you? Alexander and Rufus became followers, maybe because of Simon's compelled. So this is a surprise character. With all the heaviness and the weight of the betrayal, all the people who betrayed and condemned, here's a surprise character that gives us a hint that something new is coming. Simon of Cyrene and his sons. The centurion, another surprise character. This guy was an expert at death. Crucifixion, I don't know how many, hundreds or perhaps thousands of people. The centurion, that's a fairly high rank in the Roman army. He's seen a lot of people die. And when he sees this one die, he's the first. Remember how Mark began the first sentence in the Gospel of Mark? The good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Well, we're starting to see some of Mark's symmetry because it's ending with, the first one who confesses with their lips that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So here we have Simon of Cyrene. Here we have a high official, a highly ranked Roman officer who has probably overseen the death of many. Say, this was the Son of God. Surely this was the Son of God. I think maybe because when you died of crucifixion, you usually, your lungs filled with water and you couldn't breathe. It's like dying of pneumonia. You did not have the ability to cry out in a loud voice. And so there was something about the way that Jesus died that brought this guy to faith, and he confessed with his lips, this was the Son of God. You can see the anticipation building, that Mark's building anticipation here. Then there's these ladies, these three women, maybe a whole group of women, that we find out now, after 3 years, these ladies, probably one of them was Jesus' mom. The whole years that Jesus was traveling around and preaching and teaching his disciples, these ladies supported him. It says they served him. Interesting, isn't it? What did Jesus say about himself? I came not to be served, but but to serve. It's the same word. It's the same word of the angels when they came to Jesus in the wilderness. They served him. Now, after the cross, we see servanthood taking root. Surprise characters. Surprise, a little cross-cultural to name the gals, the women, in that day's literary period. But here they are, surprise characters who had been following him and who understood servanthood. This is more of a meditation than a sermon, by the way. Another surprise character is this young man dressed in white who's sitting in the tomb. You remember the other young man mentioned in Mark? It was when Jesus was arrested, and this young man ran off naked. He'd rather be found naked than in the presence of the Lord. Now here's another young man dressed in white who's preaching the gospel to the ladies who've come, to the women who've come to the tomb to do embalm Jesus. He says, he is alive. He is alive. First guy to preach the gospel. Jesus is not here in the tomb. This is the good news. He is not dead. He is alive. Go tell Peter and the disciples that he's alive and that he will go before them. He's going back into Galilee. Go there and you will see him, just as he told you. By the way, if you go back and read the story of just before the betrayal, Jesus says, the scripture will be fulfilled. I will strike the shepherd and you will all be scattered. But when I am raised, this is 14:28, I will go before you into Galilee. He had told them in advance. This angel, I think it's probably an angel, the young man dressed in white. Tell Peter and the disciples, he's going before you to Galilee. Go there and you will see him. Interesting surprise characters. I wanted to talk about the surprise character of the temple curtain being torn in two, but I'm not sure if that's really a character or not. I was pushing the genre a little bit. But Mark sets us up for good news. Yes, he was betrayed. He suffered, he killed, and he died, but he's alive, and he's waiting for you in Galilee. Now, here's the surprise ending of Mark's book. You would expect there to be something glorious that's going to happen. Well, what happens is these women were terrified, and they were trembling. And they didn't tell anybody because they were afraid. Many people look at the ending of Mark and they wonder, this can't be the way it was intended to end. There must be something missing. And that's why you have these extra verses probably in your Bible that don't really read like Mark wrote them. They read very differently. He didn't write those. Those were added later. I'm pretty sure Mark did this intentionally. Now, do you remember what is a parable? A parable is an open-ended story that invites a response. I think there's a sense in which Mark's entire gospel is an open-ended story that invites a faith response. If you remember, I hope you spend a lot more time in Mark. I've spent a lot of time in Mark, and that's what we're going to study into Paul. It's thrilling to me. I would encourage you, some of you who like this kind of thing, to find one book of Scripture and make it your theme book. Pick a good one. Pick one that speaks to you and make it your life book. And then from there, expand out to some others. It can kind of become I think a gospel is a good one. Genesis is a great one. Master a book. And that will help you move out in all of Scripture and understand God's purposes, the purposes of God. It'll begin, it's, help you decode Scripture. If you remember, I think Mark is inviting faith. Faith is a positive response to Jesus says, come do this. If you remember in Mark's story, for Mark, faith is something that can be seen. Now, often we think of faith as purely cognitive. It's something that you believe. And that's part. Actually, it's interesting. Faith and belief are the verb and the noun of the same word. And I always get them confused. I think faith is the noun. It's what you have. Belief is the action that you do as a result of what you think. Early on, when Jesus was, you remember the story of healing the paralytic and he forgave sin? There's a little word there that's interesting, a little verse. He says, and seeing their faith. Whose faith did he see? Well, he saw the faith of the four friends who picked this guy up, and basically he was paralyzed. He didn't have a whole lot of choice in the matter, but he had friends who cared enough to pick him up and bring him to Jesus. And when Jesus saw that faith, faith is something visible. It's something that Jesus can see. Yes, it's cognitive, but it's also your hands and your feet and where you put yourself. There's several other stories I could keep talking about. For example, the woman who'd been sick for 12 years, she had heard about Jesus. So she had the cognitive part. But it informed her action. She was ashamed enough that she did this very covertly, pushed her way through the crowd, stuck her hand out and grabbed his garment, his clothes. And Jesus felt power go. Jesus knew her faith by what she did. That's Mark's definition of faith. It's both. It's the cognitive, the mental part, that's why we study Scripture, but it's the responsiveness. That's what I think is going on in this ending of Mark. Tell the disciples and Peter, he has gone before you to Galilee. Go there and you will see him. See, there's a cognitive, oh yeah, he told us that a couple days ago. We're reminded again. Will you go or won't you? See, I think that's Mark's question at the end of the story. I don't blame these sisters for being trembling and afraid. This is fearsome, awesome stuff. How about us? Will we meet him in Galilee? Now, we know the rest of the story. We got the book of Acts. If you're looking for something to read this summer after spending the whole school year in Mark, read Acts. Now, there's a thrilling action book. I don't know how many missions things we talked about this morning, and if you look in the computer out in the hallway, meet me in Galilee. They did that. The disciples and the sisters met him in Galilee, afraid, trembling, wondering, I love the story of the disciples because they almost never do anything right. And that's an encouragement to me personally and to many of us who look back and we see great mercies from the Lord, but we see mistakes that we've made as well. But they went. They did. They overcame their fear and they went to Galilee. And from there, they went to Judea and Samaria, and Peter himself ended up in the capital of Rome. What a humorous story of a guy that started out laying in a boat full of fish, asking Jesus, leave me alone. The Lord took him to preach to the emperor of the world. Who would have thunk it? Now see, this is the faith response. Meet me in Galilee. and I'm filling this blank in. And from there, we go to the rest of the world. We are sitting here this morning, having heard the good news, and by his grace, having responded to it, because they went to Galilee and met the Lord who was already there. Now, I don't know what our Galilee is, but don't be surprised at experiencing fear and trembling. There's some cost here. I think all the disciples, some of them we're not sure of, but James is killed in Acts 12. Peter said, "I will die with you. I'll never fall away." Well, his commitment was fulfilled in Rome. He was crucified for the Lord in Rome. There's risk, but there's eternal life waiting for us. Let's meet him in Galilee.